Truly it's good to see each and every one of you here tonight. I mean that because every one of us do what we do because we choose to do so. You might have chosen to be someplace else. You might have chosen to remain home where it was perhaps comfortable in an easy chair and watch television or read a favorite book. Or you might have chose to be with friends and to have an evening together with them. You might have chosen to do a thousand other things. But you chose to put the Lord first and to be here. We praise your name that you have that, praise his name that you have that love for him, that desire to serve him. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 is going to serve as a basis for our study tonight. I guess I'm the world's worst when it comes to forgetting things. In the announcements tonight, I failed to say anything about my own wife that's sick there. I sometimes forget about people that are sick or forget about other things that should be announced, and I don't do it on purpose there, but sometimes I do those things and can't keep up with everybody, and so I trust that you'll forgive me if I make that mistake in regards to you or somebody else. But you can see I'm not playing any favorites there when I forget my own wife and don't announce that she is ill. As most of you know, she's having the flu and hasn't had it since about Thursday there, and still feeling pretty weak as a result of it. I just hope she keeps it to herself there, doesn't spread it. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Loving Father, we ask at this time now particularly that you'll be with us as we study thy word. We are thankful, Father, for thy word, for the message of love and hope, the happiness that it brings to us. The message of the forgiveness of sins. The message of that home in heaven. And we are thankful, Father, that you so love us, so care about us. We ask now that you'll be with us as we study thy word. Bless us, Father, that we might truly be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him wheresoever he goes. It's in his most holy name that we do pray. Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 there says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I don't intend to speak about forsaking of the assembly tonight. It'd be a terrible thing to preach that message to you, because it's usually Sunday night that people forsake the assembly when they choose to forsake it. Doesn't mean that not any of you or not myself might not be guilty or have been guilty of it. But there's another thing that's brought out in these verses that seems to me is very important to us. And that is the concern and the love that we should have one for another, and the things that we should be doing one for another as Christians. He says here we should provoke, or the old King James says there that we should provoke one another to love and good works. And the new King James here says that we should consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but exhorting one another. The word here, provoke or stir up, comes from a Greek word which means to excite, to arouse, to bring forth, stir up and bring forth action. And we as Christians should be concerned about one another. One of the ways and things that we should do for one another is to arouse each other in regards to love and good works. We need to say those things to one another. We need to respond toward one another in such a way that we stimulate love in other Christians, in such a way that we bring forth good works out of others. Much of the time we think of the word provoke and used in a bad context of provoking somebody to anger or provoking someone, stirring them up in a bad context. I guess we can all do that too, can't we? We're all capable of that, but that's not what we must do with reference to one another. Just this past week, I had to referee a disagreement between a husband and wife because they seemed to be provoking one another in the wrong way. But this is an effect that we are to have upon one another. That's a positive thing, to excite and to arouse one another in love for one another and in the performance of good works. Some people have the feeling that Christianity doesn't need any excitement, or that the Christian doesn't need any excitement. Well, now our Christianity may not need to be based upon emotionalism, but the Christian genuinely, truly has something to be excited about. During the gospel meeting and shortly thereafter, there was a lot of excitement. Excitement's a good thing. A lot of people were stirred up attend our assemblies and to come to the gospel meeting. But a lot of people were excited because of the excitement. And the excitement that we need is not just excitement about excitement, but we need to be excited because of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of sin that we have through Jesus Christ. Because we were eternally condemned to the fires of hell. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, through the love of God, came and died and took my place, died in my stead, took my punishment. And now I am forgiven. His blood was shed so that I might be spared and have the hope of living with him throughout all of eternity. And when we get excited about that, and when we get excited and being concerned about other Christians so that we want to stir others up and to get them to have an insight into that excitement of a relationship with God Almighty, then we'll have the right type of excitement that will stir people up, that will cause us to truly consider other people and try to motivate them to love and good works. We need to have a genuine concern for other people, a concern about their soul salvation. If you were to stop and think about members of the Lord's body and the talent and the potential that so many people have, and yet their talents and their potential and service of the Lord is being wasted and dissipated, drained off, tapped off in many other ways rather than it being put forth in the service of the Lord in a positive way. One could almost be brought to tears as he thinks about people who are inactive, do not realize what the danger that they are putting their souls in as they forsake assembling together, as we neglect Bible study, as we fail to take time for prayer, as we fail through the years to grow and become stronger and more productive in the service of the Lord. We need to be concerned about those things for one another, to stir one another up, to grow in those things, in love and good works. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul there is really discussing, you might say, this very theme. As he talks about the love and fellowship that we should have one for another. And he says to the Christians there at Philippi, he says, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interests only, but also for the interests of others. See the passionate appeal that the Apostle Paul is making there. That if we have any love, any vows of brotherly concern and love for one another, if there is any unity among us, whatever. And he's saying, be concerned about one another. Having the same love one for another. One accord, of one mind. And don't do anything, he says, for your own individual glory out of selfish ambition. I think the King James uses the word out of vain conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Take a look at other people. And think of them as being better than us. And we're there to serve them. We're there to help them. Concerned about them. Trying to do that for them. Which will motivate them to love and to good works. And then he says, don't just be looking out for your own self. That's not the way to live. Look not, kind of the King James says, look not on your own things, but also on the things of others. And sometimes people have wondered, well, does that mean then that I don't think about the things that I have, just think about the things that somebody else has got, try to get the things that others have got or something? No, that's not what he's saying. But instead, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. We need to be so concerned about one another that we live with a view of trying to benefit others, trying to help them, provoke them to love and good works, to encourage them, to motivate them. It's a shame that so many times we become so busy in life that we don't have time to think about the needs of other people and other members of the body of Christ. And this is what the Hebrew writer is exhorting us to do, to think about one another, to consider one another, to take time for one another, and provoke one another unto love and to good works. The Christian life itself should be a life that provokes others to action. That should be our purpose, to serve as an example to others, as a life that would want others to have a part in that type of a life. I never will forget the words that someone said to me. I believe the words were, I want the calmness, the peace that you have within. I praise God that they saw that in my life. They said they wanted that. That's the way our lives should be as Christians. It should bring forth excitement out of other people to cause them, as Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Peter said of in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, as he was speaking about the people's relationship to the Gentiles, he said that they, the Gentiles, might observe your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. We are to live lives that are like a light. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that we should shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We want people to see our lives. They need to be an open book. Let your light shine. Now, sometimes people have got the idea that, you know, we need to do good works and good things and, excuse me, not let anybody know about it. Keep it all on the quiet, you know. That principle is not found in the Scriptures. We should not do them to be seen of men. That's correct. But our lives should be seen of men in such a way that they will cause them to glorify God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people peculiar," is the King James wording, "but a people for God's own possession, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." As one becomes a Christian, it ought to result in a changed life. And as one continues to live the Christian life, there should be continual change and growth. And the world should see. And that should cause the people to glorify God. People should see, he says. We were to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We should not hide what we do for Christ. But what we do should be a means of causing others to love God more. Should be a means of provoking others to greater work. And to follow our example. I trust that I tried to do this very thing in the article in the bulletin today. I trust you've read this article. Don't mean to try to embarrass Teresa and Chris, but when somebody's doing something right, we need to follow their example. And here's an example for us to follow. And there are probably others. I'm sure there are many other people that I could write about whose examples we need to follow. It's just that I nearly ran over them last Tuesday night when they were making some calls, and I was too. They didn't know it at that time, but so I was brought to my attention. But our lights must shine. And we must be excited ourselves, really, for our lights to shine. If we don't have that relationship with the Lord ourselves and our lights are not really shining in excitement, then it's going to be hard for us to stir up others. We need to let our excitement be seen. We need to speak about it. We need to let people know that we are concerned about the life that we are living and about being an example to them. The Bible does not say that we're to hide our works, but let them be seen. Too many times, I'm afraid, we depend upon the preacher or elders or other leaders in the church to create the excitement, to do all the provoking of everybody else to love and good works. It can't be done as it should be done that way. This here is an admonition in our text here laid upon each one of us to consider each other and to encourage one another unto love and good works. This verse is not written to just a few preachers. It's not talking about preachers' responsibility here. It's talking about the responsibility of each and every one of us as Christians. In our adult class this morning, we studied about a man is really an example of this very thing that I'm talking about, a man by the name of Barnabas. We first meet Barnabas over in the book of Acts in the fourth chapter. And down in about verse 36, we're introduced to him. His name was Joseph, but he was nicknamed, or given the surname, it says here, of Barnabas by the apostles. And that word translated means the son of encouragement. He was a man that encouraged other people. He's the one who sold land and brought the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. And they named him son of encouragement because he was such an encouragement to other people. And this is the thing we're talking about. His life was an encouragement to other people. We next learn about him over in the ninth chapter. The next time he is mentioned is whenever Saul, after his conversion, comes to Jerusalem and The disciples in Jerusalem are afraid of him because all they've heard about him is how he's been persecuting the church and do not know of his conversion. And so in Acts chapter 9 and verse 27, we read that this man Barnabas brought Saul to the disciples and introduced him and evidently told about his conversion and so forth. His good qualities are standing forth. And then in the 10th chapter, or in the 11th chapter, rather, we meet up him with again. Whenever there are people converted up at the city of Antioch, new converts are made there, the church, Jerusalem, sends Barnabas, verse 23, Acts 11, verse 23. When he was sent up there by the church, it says that he came and he saw the grace of God and he was glad, and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave or continue with the Lord. The King James says that they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Here's the results of a good man. A man that encouraged people. The first mention of him is that he was a man who encouraged people. And here we find him doing the same thing at the city of Antioch. And he encouraged these people that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. I'd ask the adult class this morning what that means, with purpose of heart. And we talked about how that has to do with purpose, has to do with planning, determination, setting forth that as one's goal, that with purpose of heart. This is a plan, this is a determination, a goal made in one's heart that comes forth out of the heart, that they're going to cleave unto the Lord. And he's exhorting these people to be that steadfast and that faithful, that with their hearts, that they love the Lord with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, that they cleave unto the Lord, that make that their purpose, their goal, their ambition. Nothing turned them away from it. And that was this man of encouragement, an example to us all. In our adult class, I'll go ahead and mention this, since some of you were not there, teaching classes and other things. We talked about how that this man is a great example for all of us. And that we need people who are good people that will serve as examples in the kingdom of God today. Because here was a man who encouraged people, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, the result was the conversion of many people here at the city of Antioch. And today in our world, we need people like this, people who will follow the example of Barnabas. Most of our world has as its models, its role models today, movie stars or sports heroes or other people who are successful in the eyes of the world, successful in fleshly ways. And we need good people to be role models, to set the example, to consider other people, to live a life and to say and to do those things that will provoke others unto love and good works. Barnabas was such a man. What a growing, expanding church the Lord's church would be if we would all work to excite one another. And that's what we need to be busy in. Working to excite one another. The church is to be a body, and we are to strengthen and help each other with that goal in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks about how that every member of the body is needful, and that even those members of the body which we think are less honorable or they are less productive, we think they might not even be needed, they are. Down in verses number 24, he says, 1 Corinthians 12, 24, but our presentable parts, I didn't want to read that part, if the last part of verse 24, but God composes the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And he points out how that they all have different talents and abilities then. But they all have those for the good of the whole body. We should use our talents and our abilities to encourage and motivate, provoke one another to love and to good works. John wrote in 1 John 3:16, hereby we know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We know he loves us because he laid down his life for us. But then he adds, and we ought to lay down our lives one for another. One of the ways we can do that is by being concerned about one another, encouraging, provoking one another to love and good works. You know, there's an attitude in our world today, you know, what I do is my business. How I live is my business. Don't tell me how to live. That would be a terrible attitude for a Christian to take, wouldn't it? As a preacher, I know other elders as well do not have that type of an attitude. We want all the encouragement that we can get, and I thank God that there are many of you constantly are encouraging me. And preachers and elders, Bible teachers, song leaders, everybody needs that type of encouragement. Need that type of to be provoked to greater love and to greater works. We elders have been challenged by the congregation recently because through the meeting that we have had, you're wanting to serve, wanting to do more, wanting to keep the fires going. And so we are challenged because of your attitude. Hebrews 3 and verse number 13 also brings out the thought, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It needs to be a daily thing. We need to exhort one another daily. Keep on encouraging one another. There are many ways that we can encourage one another. We have some very simple ones that we need to be aware of. And every one of us can do these. Just visiting of people. Visit the sick. That's a way of encouraging those people. Let them know that we care about them. Absentees. People that you see are absent from our assemblies, maybe today. Phone them. Call them. Not as a matter of checking on them, but to let them know you care about them. Your purpose is to provoke them to greater love and greater works. They may have a problem. They may have a difficulty. They may be sick. But these people many times need comforting. Their hearts may be discouraged. They may be depressed. So we need to encourage absentees. If they're not in Bible class, tell them something we studied about in Bible class. Talk about the Bible class. Encourage them to come. I sure would like to see you come to Bible class. Anybody can do that type of thing. To let people know that they were missed and wish that they would come to just to encourage them. We have a fellowship dinner coming up Sunday after next. You can almost count who's going to be there. A certain number always there. Well, those of us that always go, let's look around and see somebody who doesn't go. The purpose of those is to build fellowship, build an understanding, build a team spirit between us, to provoke one another. We can't provoke one another, we can't stimulate and encourage one another if we don't have any time together. Try to bring somebody with you. Pick out someone particularly. You know, sometimes I've said things like, you know, sure wish you'd come to our fellowship dinner. Or maybe I've made a, gone out of my way to issue a special invitation. And they have come. Not always, but sometimes they will. Pick out somebody. Try to get them to come to it next Sunday. That's its purpose. We're talking about having these get-togethers. If you didn't get to fill out one of the questionnaires this morning where you can volunteer for certain responsibilities and to be a host or a host helper for the get-togethers that we're talking about, then do so and fill that out and turn it in for us there. But you can help to work with those and invite people to them who need to be motivated and encouraged. And really, that's all of us, isn't it? Brother and Sister Patterson, just here the other day when Mary Skelly hurt herself. I don't think Ollie cooked the pie there, but Johnny cooked a green tomato pie and took to her. Said she almost ate the whole thing right there and wasn't going to share it with anybody. Well, that was a great encouragement to her. Things like that to our elderly people, people who are shut in, people that are sick. It's a way of encouraging. It's a way of provoking love and good works out of other people. We've all done this and carried in food to people that are sick, to families that are having problems in one way or another. It's encouraging to each and every one of us. But we need to talk to people about the Lord's body. Invite people to all of our services. Talk to them about building up of the Lord's kingdom, about the hope that we have, about being here for Bible classes. Tell them what we're studying. Talk about some point made in the Bible class or something about in the sermon. How wonderful to be engaged in doing that type of work. There's another statement that comes to my mind, which we have had recently in our adult Bible class over in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38, where Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius. And he was describing what Jesus Christ did, how he lived, how he went about, Peter used the words, doing good. And freeing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus Christ used his life in doing good. He didn't live for himself. If you and I want to find happiness and success, and we want to find real fulfillment in life that will take away our fears and anxieties and worries, then we need to follow in the steps of Jesus, spend our time going about doing good. And that'll be the greatest step that we ever could take toward happiness and peace and security and contentment. Being concerned about others, provoking others to love and to good works. We do have something to be excited about. Something that everybody truly wants if we can only get them to see how desperately they need the forgiveness of sins and the hope that they have through the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we don't have to shout and jump up and down and bang cymbals together and have a great band to create such excitement. But that excitement should run deep in the soul of each and every Christian and should be a means of motivating others. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're out of Christ this night, if you do not have that excitement, you do not have that relationship with Him, maybe you need to respond to the invitation. Won't you do it while we stand now, while we sing?
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Turn to page 111, 111. After singing the first and last verse of this song, Brother Patterson will dismiss us.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forever more to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forever more to be. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forever more to be. Lord, I give my life to thee, thine forever more to be.
Our loving God, we are so thankful unto you for the good lesson that we've just heard. We're thankful for men like Brother Legg, who is able to present your word in such a way that we can receive encouragement and be built up. We do pray for those of our number that are sick, shut in. Ask you to be mindful of them. Bless them as you see best. Be with each one of us as we separate and go to our homes. Help us to make a definite effort to let her light so shine that others might see her good works and glorify you. Help us to live faithful so that when life is over, we can have a home in heaven. In Jesus' name, and amen.